Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with all of our listeners again today. So thankful to have this opportunity to be with you and to share God's Word with you one more time. What a blessing it is for us to have God's Word, the Bible. You know, there are so many places in the world where people, they would just love to have a Bible. And typically in our homes in this country, we've got a number of them, don't we? Maybe in some different translations. Well, but how many people in our country really take the Bible down off their bookcase shelf or out of their closet shelf or off the coffee table and actually open it up and read it? Well, I'm afraid that far too few do that. We're thankful to help that you're there and that you want to learn God's Word, that you want to be in His Word. And that's what this program, Search the Scriptures, is really about, to teach God's Word and thereby help us to come to faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, and also to grow in our faith to the point that we give our lives to God through Jesus Christ. We want to help you along this line. Tell people about the program, Search the Scriptures, and also tell people to go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. And when somebody does that, they will automatically receive this radio program Monday through Friday to their smartphone or computer or whatever smart device they choose. But they'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching automatically on a daily basis. So tell people to take advantage of that. Churchofchrist.com. We're going to get back into our study. We have been going through for quite a number of weeks now. We've been going through a series of lessons that I've entitled Heart Problems or Heart Troubles. And what we're talking about are problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. We've covered a whole range of these already, and probably a number of these, a lot of people would be somewhat surprised because they have not thought about these as really being problems of the heart. But they are. So we've talked about laziness, hatred, fear, gossip, anger, worry, pride, prejudice, and selfishness. And as we conclude this particular series, we're talking about weak faith. Weak faith. Once again, some people might not have thought about weak faith as being a heart problem, but it is. It is. Well, we introduced this particular section of our study last time by talking about three basic aspects of faith as taught in the Scriptures. And so a lot of people, they just think about faith from one perspective, and that's their belief in God and in Christ and in Christianity. Belief in the Bible as being God's Word. Well, that's one aspect. But then where does that faith come from? It comes from a second aspect of faith taught in the Scriptures that is referred to as the faith. And basically, that is the Bible. Again, what do we keep saying in this program? Faith comes by hearing what? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. The Word of God is the faith upon which our faith is based. And then the third aspect is faithfulness. And faithfulness is my faith put into action through obedience and dedication and service. Well, where does faith come from? Many people are confused as to where faith comes from. Some people talk about getting faith as though it was a virus or a bacteria, an illness of some kind. They got the flu. They caught a cold. Some people seem to almost think about faith as that way. I caught faith. Well, other people speak of faith as being a gift from God, as though it is bestowed upon a person by God, whether they want it or not, whether they're expecting it or not, whether they're doing anything to develop faith within their life or not. God just bestows it upon them. Now, the logical follow-up question to that belief is, if God just gives you faith, then why does he not give that same gift to everybody in order that everybody would have faith? Well, silence as to the answer. See, why would God just choose some people to give faith, to whom to give faith, but he would withhold it from others? God wants everybody to have faith. God wants everybody to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants all to have faith in him and faith in his Son, our Lord and Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, not everybody has faith. Not everybody has faith. The psalmist speaks of those who do not have faith in God in Psalm 14 and verse 1, and he refers to them as being fools. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. When you think about somebody who has no faith in God, or if you think about a culture that becomes more and more devoid of faith in God, you're talking about a dark reality, because life is not lived in a vacuum from a spiritual perspective. If a person removes God from their consciousness, guess who moves in immediately? The devil. And so God is the basis of all goodness, all true goodness. Remember what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Whatever is truly good in your life is a blessing from God. You may not think about all those things that are truly good in your life as being blessings from God, but they are. And so if you remove God from the picture, then you remove all goodness, because there is no way to explain goodness without God. And so that would include a whole host of understandings of principles that are connected to goodness. Well, did God withhold the gift from one person while giving it to another person? Did he overlook or forget some people? If that's how faith comes, God gives it to some people. Did he forget some? Because not everybody has faith. Again, the psalmist refers to the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are a lot of atheists out there, a lot of skeptics, a lot of agnostics. There are a whole lot of people out there who would say they have faith in God, but they don't show it in their life. Well, obviously, each individual plays a personal role in the development of faith in his own life or her own life. So, the understanding, the belief that, well, God just gave me faith, it's a gift from God, that makes no sense. Now, does God give us the gift of his word through which we can develop faith? Absolutely. But does he bestow faith upon some people and withhold it from other people? No. God is not a capricious God. God, and the scriptures tell us this over and over again, God is not prejudiced. He offers the same opportunity or the same source for us to develop faith. He offers that to everybody, his word. So where does faith come from? Again, the Apostle Paul put it succinctly. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Do you read your Bible? Do you read your Bible regularly? That's going to help you develop faith and also help you stay strong in your faith. How many people do not read the Bible? Hardly ever, if ever. The sense of the verse is that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so real faith does not just happen. Since faith in God and faith in Christ is required for salvation, And remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, it's not that the faith is the gift of God, it is the salvation is the gift of God. But we have to come to God for that salvation through Jesus Christ in faith. Faith. Only by God's grace can we be saved, but we have to have faith so that God sees we're ready to receive salvation by his grace. Well, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, as we noted a few moments ago. Because of these facts, it should be obvious that faith is not simply bestowed upon some people by God and withheld from other people. Faith develops within us on an individual basis as we learn the teachings of Scripture, God's Word. We believe those teachings, and then we begin to apply them properly to our lives. That's how faith comes. Since the development of faith is tied to learning the teachings of Scripture, then it is absolutely essential, imperative, that a person applies himself to learning those teachings. Now, we're not talking about being able to memorize every verse of Scripture in the entire Bible, to be able to quote every verse from memory. That's not what we're talking about. But we need to be in God's Word sufficient that we understand what God wants us to do, what he has done for us, and how he wants us to live, and the blessings of eternal life, all that goes therewith, that he has waiting for us and wants to give us if we will walk with him in faith, in faithful obedience. It is no wonder that the Apostle Paul admonished, be diligent. Another translation says study. Same sense. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or correctly understanding and applying the word of truth, which is God's word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. It is only logical, then, that the Scriptures have been designed to guide us to salvation and to equip us to live a life of faithfulness once we have come to God in faith for salvation through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul also wrote in the third chapter of his second letter to Timothy, beginning with verse 15, reminding Timothy, and this would be teaching for every one of us, helping us to come to understand about the importance of faith and how we get it, how it comes, how it develops within us as we learn God's Word. Paul reminds Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. How did Timothy learn about salvation in Christ? How did he come to faith in Christ? Through the Holy Scriptures. And then Paul goes on and says, in verses 16 and 17, we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning it is God's very word, and is profitable for doctrine, that is for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How can we have that full spiritual life? How can we be fully equipped to live the faithful Christian life that God wants us to live? We become equipped to do that, to live that life, by learning how to live that faithful life on a daily consistent basis through studying God's Word. God gives us the guidelines He's given us the manual. It is the gospel message recorded for us in Scripture that bears God's power to salvation. Paul wrote in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Realizing that truth helps us understand why Jesus instructed the apostles to preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere, throughout the world, in all generations. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Mark records that great commission command from Jesus to the apostles to start this teaching process. He told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul talked about the simple methodology by which God designed us to spread the word, the gospel, the saving message of the gospel of Christ to everybody all over the world in every generation. He wrote, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom," and I think we're to understand through its own wisdom, "did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." And there's the simple methodology of preaching, teaching the Word of God to help people come to understand the truth as to how they can come to God through Jesus Christ for salvation, how faith, saving faith, can develop within their hearts. Whatever things were written before, that is in the Scriptures, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. We read further in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. "Now all these things happened to them," talking about the Old Testament characters, specifically about the Israelite people in Old Testament times. "All these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now, when you read there in Romans 15 and verse 4 that the Scriptures were written for our learning, and you read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 the Scriptures were written for our admonition, you're talking about the same thing, for our guidance. The Scriptures were written for the development of our faith, personal belief in God and in Christ. That's the basis of our faith. We understand about Christ being our Savior through the things written about Him in the Scriptures. As John the Apostle was concluding his gospel account of Jesus Christ, his life and ministry upon this earth, in the closing chapters, he writes this. First, in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he wrote, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." You see, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. John says, "These things have been written that you may believe in Jesus, and believing you may have life in his name." In the 21st chapter, the last chapter, and the last couple of verses in John's gospel account, verses 24 and 25, we read this. "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were all written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Now, but what did he say back in chapter 20 and verse 31? But these are written that you may believe, that you may have faith, that you may have faith. The Apostle John, in his letter, his first letter, 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 13, he said the same thing, basically. He said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." The Scriptures are pivotal to the development of our faith. And the Scriptures are pivotal to our living our faith in faithfulness. Be in God's Word. Be in God's Word. In our next section, we're going to ask the question. We've just answered, where does faith come from? Now, how important is faith in our lives? Be sure to listen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for loving us so much that you have given us your Word to guide us in faith and also to guide us in faithfulness. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your Word to teach us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that through him we can come to you for forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. Thank you for loving us so much, Father. Help us to stay in your Word and thereby stay strong in our faith. Thank you for the guidebook, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise, and the thanks. And we beg you, Father, please, please forgive us of our sins. And hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.